תזכר מצוות חכם יוסף ובעזרת השם לכבוד.
Good evening, everyone. Buenas noches. Two words I learned. I don't know how, but half of what he said I understood. Divine information, internet. Tonight, I was asked to speak about a very important subject. It's called Torah and Science. Since I made that lecture so many hundreds of times, I'm going to change it. I always change it. I never keep it the same. Why this lecture is very important? Because from all the lectures that thousands of rabbis are giving all over the world, this is the most important lectures. Why? Because this is a lecture that can take a Jew or a non-Jew that doesn't believe in God at all and doesn't believe in a Torah at all and doesn't believe in oral Torah at all and doesn't believe in rabbis and chachamim, and basically doesn't believe in any religion whatsoever. And he watched this lecture, and I have it on a DVD for you outside, 4 hours DVD, and Baruch Hashem now we made it in Spanish, that people can hear it in a car. When people hear this lecture, if they have a little bit honesty, not a lot, a little bit honesty in their heart and in their mind, they cannot deny after that they got all the answers to all the questions that they had. This lecture proves that there is a creator to the world, and he gave the Jewish people the Torah in Har Sinai, in Mount Sinai, 3,300 years ago. And the Torah that we keep today in Israel, in America, in Mexico, in Europe, doesn't matter where, the same Torah, the same tradition, the same Talmud, same Shulchan Aruch, same Rambam, everything that we had hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, everything went from father to son, from rabbi to student, and kept the same exact way until the way we have it today. How this lecture was so successful, I divided it to three different parts, as you can see in a few minutes. First part, I called it Ma'amad Har Sinai, is proving that the Jewish people really heard, not believing, remember, proving. If you know science, you know, proving means 100%. If it's only 50%, then it stays a matter of faith, emunah. Emunah, sometimes you believe in someone, but then later on you found out that it wasn't what you thought. Emunah, it's a matter of sometimes you're right, sometimes you are wrong. But when it comes to yediyah, means knowledge, knowledge is 100%, knowledge, 100%. When it comes to knowledge, it's much, much easier to keep after that. When you know 100% that you're not wasting your life. So the first part of this lecture, it's called Ma'amad Har Sinai, proving that the Jewish people received the Torah in Mount Sinai. Second part of this lecture is proving that the written and the oral Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, in a public event, and everything I'm showing in part two of the lecture, you can see right away that a human being could never write such a thing. Doesn't matter how smart he is, he can be the smartest person in history. You can take thousands of scientists and philosophers and professors and doctors and anything you can think of, you combine all of them together and you give them 1,000 years to sit and write what I'm going to show you, they would not be able to write one thing. Why? Not that they're not smart. Of course they're smart. They discover all kinds of beautiful things that change the face of the world. They deserve a lot of credit. Chas v'shalom, we're not taking away what they deserve. But it's not a matter of human logic or knowledge. What I'm going to show, it's divine knowledge. That's why I call my website Divine Information. What does it mean, divine? What's the difference between divine information to human information? What's the difference? The difference is, whatever people say, there's always a doubt about it. Even 1%, it's still a doubt. You don't know for sure. You know, people, they use their mind, they assume, they think they understand. Later on, sometimes we find out that whatever we thought it's right, it's wrong. But when it's a divine knowledge, there's no room for mistakes. One mistake jeopardizes the entire Torah and the entire Judaism. If you find mistake in a Torah, God forbid, Baruch Hashem, nobody ever found mistake. But if a person was able to find one mistake in a Torah, it would discredit the rest of the Torah tremendously. We will not have the strength and the energy to follow it as we are, knowing that we have human mistakes in our book. Why? Because we won't be able to rely on the rest of the book. I'll give you a few examples soon, then you're going to understand what I'm talking about. And the third part of the lecture is answers to the most frequent questions that all people ask from the day the world was created until the day the world will end. Every human being, Jews, non-Jews, everyone asks this question sometimes every day of their life. For instance, I give you an example, what's the purpose of life? What are we doing here? Why the creator of the world put us here the way we are, and you know, with so many animals around us and the way the world is? What's going to be when we die one day? Is it going to continue the life, or it will be the end of the story? Why people that are good and they are righteous sometimes become sick and they suffer very much, and people that are not so good, sometimes they're very healthy and they live very long life and good and healthy and wealthy? So it looks to us sometimes that there's no justice. And many, many other questions like these that every one of you ask, I'm sure, more than once. I answer everything in one shot in part three of the film, one after the other. For instance, if God knows the future, how we really choose to do good or bad? How can we choose? If God already saw the end of the story, can we choose different than his knowledge? This is a very, very common question. Many people left the truth because of this conflict. The Greeks, the Muslims, they went crazy when they came to this question. They didn't know what to do with this question. Is it possible that God knows the future and we choose? So they came out with the wrong answers. For instance, the Muslims say, everything mean Allah. Everything is pre-dictated for us, that's it. God decided what's gonna be, and we are basically robots. The problem with the Muslims is, if that was true, why they give punishment to people who violate the rules of their book? If God already decided for us if we do good or bad, nobody deserves to get a punishment. Why a person get a punishment if he didn't choose to do bad? Or if he should get a reward if it wasn't in his hand to do good? So obviously, they are saying one thing and they behaving in the opposite way according to what they say. So this is an example. The Greeks were big philosophers. They also wanted to know what's going on in this world. How does it work? So they came to this question, they say, wait a minute, if God knows the future, it's not possible that we choose. How can it be? So what did they say? Okay, then the conclusion is that God doesn't know the future. That's what the Greeks wrote in their philosophy. But the Torah say, of course God knows the future. There's hundreds of examples in the Tanakh that he told people things that are going to happen, and it happened, such as David HaMelech and other examples. And he knows the future for sure. Do we choose? Also for sure. Why? Because he told us in the Torah, Re'e Anochi noten lifnechem hayom et ha'chaim ve'et ha'tov, et ha'mavet ve'et ha'ra. Uvacharta b'chaim. I'm giving you the life and the good. I'm giving you the bad and the death. And you should choose the good. You should choose the life. If we couldn't choose, why is lying to us, God forbid? Is wasting our time? Why he gave us a book of instructions? Why to waste his time writing a book and give it to people if the people are robots? I'll give you an example of what I mean, and then we'll move on. If a person has a robot, and he has a remote control, and the remote control decides, the person is pressing the buttons, and he moves the robot, and the robot fell from the stairs and broke. The hand of the robot broke. So imagine the person who was moving him with the remote control, he picks up the robot in his hand, and he gives him such a smack. You fool! Why are you falling? Now, if somebody would see this person, say, this person is Majnun. Something is not right here. He's moving the robot, and the robot fell, and now he comes and complains to the robot. The people who claim that God doesn't know the future, that's basically what they say. He made us do that, and then he comes and he has complained why you did it. Of course, it's not logical. So let's move on. The first rule is, when we come to analyze a divine book, it's first to recognize who this God is. How do we know, before we open the Torah, how do we know that the world has a creator? The answer is, it's very, very simple. Why? Because everything that was ever made in the history of this world by anyone, Jews, non-Jews, all over the world, from computers and cameras and chairs and lights and anything you can think of, everything that was made, everything that has symmetric, has a shape, has colors, everything that we see around us, we know 1,000,000% that it was made by someone. I'm willing to swear on my life that this little remote control was made by someone in Japan or in China. How do I know? I never saw him, but I have no question in my mind that it was made by someone. Why? Because something like this, with a beautiful shape, with buttons in the right place, can never be created by itself. It's not possible. Someone designed it. So when we see a creation, we know there is a creator. The more sophisticated is the creation, it indicates about the brilliance of the creator. To make a piece of paper, a tissue, you don't need to be a genius. But to make a computer, you have to be a very smart person. Not everyone can make a computer. To design it, to put things together, to make it work combined without errors, it's not so simple. Now, the next rule is, since we know that everything that was created has a creator, and the more sophisticated it is, it shows us about how great the creator is, the next question is, did we ever find something that was made in the world for no reason? One thing, look in the entire world, everything that was ever made, pictures, cars, roads, everything you can think of. Can you show one thing from billions and billions of things that people made in the last few thousand years? Can you show one thing that was made and it did not have a purpose? That you come to the person who made it, excuse me, senor, why did you make it? I don't know. I don't know why. What, did you ever see such thing? You come to Mr. Lee in China. Mr. Lee, why did you make this recorder? I don't know, really. I don't know why I made it. I don't know. It's not possible. Not only he knows, when they sell their devices, it always comes with a manual, instructions how to use it. Nothing is sold today without instructions. Even how to put a little table together, they give you instructions how to do it. Why is it? Because the manufacturer is interested that the people will enjoy his creation in the best possible way. Nobody wants to make a computer and not tell people how to use it. What's the point? So you don't even use 5% of what you can do with a computer because nobody ever told you. So now the conclusion. What's the conclusion? Is it possible that the Creator made such a world with so many people, with brains, oxygen, 2 million different kinds of animals, 2 million different names that we know? Maybe there's a lot more. We recognize 2 million names of animals. So many, they all live in nature. Is it possible that the Creator of the world made this world and he did not have a reason? The answer, absolutely not. Every normal human being understands nobody makes something for nothing. If he made a world, he has a reason. Usually when a person comes to make something, before he begins to make it, he first think, what do I want? I want light here, so I have to create light. How do I create light? He begins to design a light bulb. What came first? First he made the light bulb, then he realized that he wants light, or first he knew that he wants light, and based on that he designed the light bulb. What comes first? First comes the wish of the boss. What does he want? After he knows what he wants, he decides how to do. And after he does, he puts us here. We analyze the world and we see that from all these 2 million animals that we have in the world, we are the most advanced machine. We're very smart. We look like monkeys, 99% the same DNA, but we're a million times smarter than them. We're intelligent, we write, we read, we design things. Our intelligence is many, many levels above them. We control them, we can hunt them, we can lock them, we can do whatever we want. So we control the world. The lion is much stronger than me, but I use my head a little bit. In 1 minute, I lock him in. Why? Because I am the boss of the creation. The Creator of the world, he puts me here, and I am the most important creation in this beautiful, huge creation that he made. So far, everything I told you has nothing to do with Judaism, yet. You don't need to be a Jew to know all these things. Every human being with common sense should know what I say without religion. It's not a matter of religion, like some people think. You see a creation, you see a car, you know someone made it. It's nothing to do with religion. You see a great computer, you know someone made it. It's nothing to do with religion. When you see a word like this, you know someone made it. It's nothing to do with religion yet. Soon religion comes into place. And when you are impressed from the creation, and you begin to think, why the Creator put me here? What is my purpose? So now, a smart person is sitting and beginning to think. And he thinks like this. What's the purpose of the world? Remember, this is before he knows about the Torah. There are many people in the world who never touched the Torah one time in their life. They never opened it. They never read one chapter in the Torah. But they believe there is a Creator. In my first film 15 years ago, they asked people on the streets in Israel, do you believe in God? So the most non-religious people, they say, I believe there is something. So they ask them, what do you mean something? Something that made all of that. It could have not become by itself. There is someone who runs the show. But they don't want to connect that someone to the book of the Torah, as the religious Jews come and say, this is the book of God. But it takes 10 minutes to link. 10 minutes, no, you don't need more than that. You show 2 proofs and you know that the Torah could not be written by a person. Only the one who made the world was able to write this book. That's when the problem begins. Some people, when you prove to them the Torah is from God, they are very happy. In one hand, they are upset. Why? Because they cannot do whatever they want anymore. Until now, they did whatever they want. They eat whatever they want. They married whoever they want. They do business in the way they want. They live whenever they want. Nobody tells them when to wake up, when to go to sleep. They live free. No boss. Ish hayashar be'enav yaaseh. All of a sudden, somebody proved to him there is a book somewhere that was given by your Creator. This is instruction, my friend, take it. So in one hand, he's very disappointed that the picnic is over. But on the other hand, he's thinking, wow, finally I'm going to understand what's my purpose here. Until now I live like another species in nature. Every day something new. Now at least I have a guideline. Now at least I can count on someone. Now at least I'm going to learn what he wants from me. Let me give you examples. Before we open the Torah, we know one thing. I can find out what's my purpose before I even touch the Torah. How? In a Torah, it takes 5-10 minutes and you know the purpose. But even someone who doesn't have the Torah, Avraham Avinu did not have this Torah that we have yet. Later he had the mitzvot, but the original scroll, that the way we have with the history of Yetziat Mitzrayim, he didn't have yet. So how did Avraham reach the right conclusion and he analyzed the world and he found out there has to be a God and he realized what's the purpose of life? How did he know? He used this common sense. Let me show you in 5 minutes how a secular Jew or a non-Jew can come to the right conclusion about the purpose of life without religion. Just to show you that it's not a religious matter. Let me explain. First, I looked at myself and I look at all the animals. If the purpose of life was to eat, to come and enjoy food, eat, 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 wow, delicious, Chinese, Mexican, Arabic, great food. If that was the purpose of life, I did not have to become a human being. I can be a chimpanzee or a dog. They also eat, they enjoy food. You see the dog, how he enjoys when he eats. You see the monkey, how they enjoy. So why the Creator made me different with the soul, with spirituality, with extra intelligence, with all kinds of skills that this monkey doesn't have, if all he wanted me is to eat like this monkey? If you wanted me to enjoy food, make me a monkey. If you wanted me to, you wanted to make me an athlete, a football player, basketball player, somebody runs the marathon, you would make me a deer. He runs much better. You want to make me someone that win gold medal in the Olympic Games in swimming? You make me a shark or a dolphin. You don't have to make me a human being. Now, if you wanted me to be rich and enjoy the material world, 90% of the people in the world at least are far away from being rich. There are millions and millions of people that they hardly have enough food to eat, barely make it. So if the purpose of the creation was to enjoy beautiful cars and nice homes and jewelry and nice clothes and vacation and you know, delicious restaurants and all this, why the Creator did not give it to all the people? Why? Why would he give to one and to the other one he's looking in the garbage what to eat? So obviously it's not the purpose. If the purpose was to be healthy, to watch your health, to always make sure you're in good shape, not to have too much cholesterol, not to get heart attacks, not to get cancer, God forbid, why so many millions of people are sick? So what happened? He only made few healthy and the rest of the world is almost everyone sick, so it cannot be the purpose. If the purpose of the world was to be male and female and to produce babies, he can make me any animal he wanted. They also have babies. They don't have to work 30 years to buy a house for the mortgage. They don't have to kill themselves in traffic every day. Just places like here, Mexico City, heavy traffic. Person wants to get to work 2 hours until they get to his office. The lion in a Bronx Zoo in New York, 20 years is laying like this in the sun. They serve him, he enjoy. He has whatever he wants. Doesn't have to worry about parnasa. Did you ever see a monkey with gray hair? Did you ever see a bald monkey? Did you ever see monkey with anxiety attacks? With stress? With Prozac depression pills? Nothing. So whatever we have, the animals have much better than us for free. So what's the purpose? No matter, I don't want to waste your whole night on that. I just wanted to give you a touch. No matter what you think is going to be the purpose, it takes me 20 seconds maximum to prove to you that if that was the purpose, the Creator would make the world different. So then we come to a dead end. It's a catch 22. We just don't know. Now comes into the picture Judaism. Up to now, everything I say so far, you don't need to be a Jew to know. A goy can think about it. He can reach the right conclusion. So now when me and the goy reach the same conclusion that we don't know, in that case, we don't know what's the purpose, comes the religious rabbi, whoever he is, doesn't matter, they all bring the same Torah, and he say, ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you. God gave me this book, and this book has instructions how to live. And he said that if you live, if you're going to live according to his instructions, one day he will leave this world and he will put you in a place of eternity full of incredible pleasure forever. It will never stop. Not like here, 10 minutes, 1 hour, half a day of pleasure, and then the problems comes right back. No. Pure, clean, eternal pleasure that will never stop. That all the pleasure in this world combined will not be equal to 1 hour of the pleasure of the afterlife. This is what the Torah promised clearly. Yafa sha'a achat shel korat ruach ba'olam haba mikol chaye ha'olam hazeh. 1 hour of the pleasure that he promised the righteous Jews in the afterlife, it's already greater than all the pleasure of all the people of this entire world from the beginning to the end, combined. On the other hand, he comes and says to us, if you're going to ignore my rules and you live according to your way, you don't care what I say, you don't care what I recommended, you don't care what I promise, you do what you want to do, there will be, in the end, a price to pay. You actually hurting yourself. It's not even a punishment. It's reality. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Punishment is somebody decided to punish you. There's nothing he can do. You're very upset. But if a person has... he has an area and he put a big fence around that area and he put signs on that, on the fence, be careful, bombs, there are bombs under the ground. In Israel, close to Lebanon over there are some fields over there, it's called Sdeh Mokshim, mines under the ground. From 60 years ago, from 80 years ago, from 40 years ago, nobody knows where they are. So people that would drive there can explode. So they don't want to take a risk. So they close the entire area with fence and they put a lot of sign. Be careful, life risk. Sdeh Mokshim. Now, if a person has a field that he owns and he put a fence around it and he put a lot of signs, warning, 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 be careful, life risk. If you go in, chas v'shalom, you can die, you can get hurt, be careful. And a person decided to jump in and walk there and something happened to him. And then he comes out after Chas v'Shalom, he lost his leg. He comes to this person and say, you're a murderer. You're a bad person. You're very evil. So he say to him, why I'm evil? He said, look what happened to me because of you. So he say to him, I don't understand how you even dare to come to me. How many warnings I put around this area? Be careful. Do not enter. Do not enter. You wanted to go there anyway. You wanted to do it your way. And now you come to complain to me? You can say that I did something wrong to you? I gave you a way, a safe way. You didn't want to go in a safe way. You chose with the free choice that I gave you to do it your way. Now when you pay the price, you come to complain to me. Where does it say it in the Torah? Ivelet Adam tesalef darko ve'al Hashem yizaf libo. The foolishness of the human being would turn him away from the right direction, the right goal of God, and in the end, he will be angry at the same God who told him, don't go this way. Instead of blaming himself, he has a lot of complaints to his creator. This is more or less the story of this world. So let's move on. Let's see some of the slides right here in front of us. Human error cannot make mistake. People make mistake. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu even made one mistake. The biggest Rabbi Akiva say he made mistake. He thought Bar Kochva is Mashiach. The two greatest people in history, Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva, and you can add to it David HaMelech, and you can add to it Shlomo HaMelech, the greatest people in history made few mistakes. People are not angels and they're not God. But God cannot make mistakes. God, with all due respect, is not David HaMelech, and he's not Shlomo HaMelech, and he's not Avraham Avinu, and he's not Moshe Rabbeinu. They're all great, but they are not God. You can't compare people to God. It's a different league. If God, Chas V'Shalom, in his book, have mistake, we're going to have a huge problem. Why? Because we cannot rely on the rest of the book ever again. If, I give you an example, if you open the New Testament of the Christians, the Christians one day decided that God gave part two. You opened it up, over there in Act 7, it's a place called Act 7 in the New Testament, it says that the cave of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is in the city of Shechem, Nablus. And everybody knows it's in Hebron. Every little kid, you ask your kids in first grade, right here in the Talmud Torah here, tell me where Me'arat HaMachpelah is. Every little kid would tell you Hebron. It's in first grade. So how God made such a foolish mistake in a book, and he wrote that the Me'arat HaMachpelah is in the city of Nablus. Imagine someone comes here today and says, ladies and gentlemen, I am the new prophet of God. He gave me this book to give it to you. So we say to him, how do we know God gave it to you? So he said, read the book. So we open the book and we see the twins. One day the planes hit the twin towers and it happened in Brooklyn. So right away we'll tell him, hey, amigo, ¿qué pasa? It didn't happen in Brooklyn. You don't know it happened in Manhattan? It says here it happened in Brooklyn. Oh, pardoname, I'm sorry. So now what's going to be now? From this moment on, are we going to waste another minute on his book or no? We're going to, if we are intelligent enough, are we going to waste another minute on a book? What do you think? We know, of course, God never gave this book. So now we have a serious question to 2 billion Christians. I only showed you one mistake, but I can show you right now, without even looking at my sources, more than 100 mistakes there, like this. Can God make so many mistakes in every chapter? But it's not mistakes that it's complicated. We're talking mistakes of kindergarten, one after the other. So now when we see such mistakes in a book, we know this book can never be from God. Let's give you examples of what I'm talking about. The world has today more than 80,000 religions and cults. More than 80,000 religions and cults. Do you understand what's going on? After the Torah, the Goyim started to invent all kinds of new religions. The question is, who has time to check 80,000 religions? What a normal person does? He checks the first one. So he comes to the first real religion, he checks the Torah. Everything that comes after that supposed to match what the Torah is. Let me explain what I mean. The Muslims and the Christians, they never say that the Jews never received the Torah from God. No, the opposite. They are the best support for what the Jews say. Every Abdallah and every Muhammad in the world today, you ask him, Mr. Muhammad, God gave the Torah to the Jews? So of course, it's in our Quran. Hundreds of psukim in the Quran speaking about the Torah, speaking about Musa, speaking about Ibrahim. So, of course God gave the Jews the Torah. Okay, so you're not contradicting what the Jews say. Of course not. We come to Chris and Christina. We come to them and we say, Senor and Senorita, please tell me, did God give the Torah to the Jews? Of course. Of course. What kind of question is that? Of course. Even, what's his name? Jesus was a Jew. Mariet Bar Mitzvah with Tfilin. We believe in this. So they're not contradicting. So of course, God gave you the Torah. So then you ask them, so why you don't follow the Torah? So they say, we follow our book. We got another book. So you ask them, who gave you this book? They said, the same Dios, the same God. So he said to him, okay, now if God gave part one, and then he gave part two have to be a continuation of part one, or have to be a contradiction of part one? So they say, of course, it has to be a continuation. It's the same writer. But everything over there is the opposite. It says Yaakov Avinu went to Mitzrayim with 75 people. But the Torah says 70. So what happened to God? He forgot how many people came with Yaakov to Mitzrayim? How can we rely on your book? And many other examples. In the Quran it says that Haman and Paro had a meeting. How to stop the God of the Jews. The only problem is that when the last Paro died, only 900 years later Haman was born. So the one who made up that lie, he took something from the Torah, and he took something from Megillat Esther, and he said, let's make a story. So he made a fairy tale, but he didn't know the chronological order. So now Haman and Paro became friends. Imagine someone write a book today, and he say, Napoleon and Obama had a meeting. What's going to happen in the world? Everyone would laugh at him. That's what it says in the Quran. This is a book of 1.5 billion people. It's not a joke. Some of them already died for this book, but it's full of mistakes. Did you know? I ask you one more question and we move on. According to the Quran, who is the uncle of JC? Who is the uncle of Jesus? The uncle. Moshe Rabbeinu. According to the Quran, Moshe is his uncle. Even though Moshe lived 1300 years before. Why? How it became? They saw that in the Torah it says that Moshe had a sister named Miriam. Moshe and Aaron have a sister named Miriam. And then the mother of JC was also Miriam, Maria. So the one who wrote, the one who copied from the New Testament, it's funny, I know. I mean, I'm holding my laugh, but believe it or not, this is what it says. In the Quran, that this Maria, Miriam, is the sister of Moshe. And if you read the story in the Quran, you cannot believe it. They're speaking about her, how you became pregnant. Huh? What's going on here? And they write, Mariam, daughter of Amram. Unbelievable. So now, what do you know when you see mistakes like this? And there's many, many other mistakes. Many, many mistakes. So the point is, we, the Jews, are very lucky. Why? Nobody ever found a mistake in our book. Many people claim there are mistakes. I'll give you an example. Hundreds of years, people say, there's mistakes also in the Torah. So we told them why there's mistake in the Torah. So they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, I will multiply your children like the sand in the ground and the stars in the universe. Until 400 years ago, until Galileo Galilei, 1608, everyone believed that the world has maximum 6,000 to 8,000 stars. That's it. You couldn't count more than 8,000. So the Goyim came to the Jews and they say, you see, you're laughing at this, you're laughing at that. You also have human mistakes. What did God do to Abraham? Did he bless him or did he curse him? If we go by the sand on the beach, it's billions of sands, of course, it's a blessing. But if we go by the star, what kind of nation is this? 8,000 people. That's a curse, that's not a blessing. So the Jews say to them, you only see 8,000 stars. But we have the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page Lamed Bet, page 32. The Gemara say, God told us in the Torah, oral Torah, remember, in case you have a doubt about oral Torah. So it says, I created 12 sections in heaven. And in each section, I created 30 armies. And in each army I created 30 legion, and in each legion I created 30 raton, and in each raton I created 30 karaton, and in each karaton I created 30 gistera, and in each gistera I hung 365,000 multiplied by 10,000, ribo, in Hebrew means 10,000, stars. And all of that I created for you. Who is for you? For the nation of Israel. And you have the nerve to say that I forgot about you and I neglected you? So now when we do the calculation, 12 times 30 times 30 times 30 times 30 times 30 times 365,000 times 10,000, which is another four zeros, it gives us 19 digits. This was written approximately 2,000 years ago. What kind of a person, take the biggest professor 2,000 years ago, could even dream that there is such a number of stars when you can only see 8,000? Who could dream about such a thing? This is a solid proof. So the Jews told them, but they say, you're making it up, you and your Talmud, you and your Gemara. The rabbis made it up. What do you surprise? There are many Jews who claim the rabbi made it up. So why the Goyim won't claim that they made them up? But when Galileo Galilei developed his telescope, which was 2 meters wide, he picked it up and he looked up to the heaven and he found out many, many new thousands of stars that nobody could see. And the whole world was in shock. Oh, there's stars, hundreds of thousands of stars. It's not only 8,000. And today when NASA shows you the number of the stars in the universe with the satellites and the mega computers and all that, so it comes exactly to the number of the stars the Gemara said 2,000 years ago. So who was right? The Jews was right all along, but the world could not see it. I give another example. The Torah say, Hashem said to the Jewish people, you represent me in the creation. You cannot do whatever you want. You have responsibility. The nations, they have few rules, and after that, they can do whatever they want, no problem. But you have a mission. Each one of you, it's a son of God. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokechem. So one of the ways you have to represent me to the world is that you have to trust me 100%. You have to have emunah, solid faith. You should never worry about parnasa. You should never worry if you have food tomorrow to eat or not. Whatever happened, you know I do for your own good, even if you don't understand it yet. So you should never, ever have fear and stress about the future. Where the Torah speak about this subject, Hashem said to the Jews, I'm going to give you rain every day of man. Bread like popcorn falling from heaven. Go pick it up, eat it, don't leave for tomorrow. Tomorrow I will take care of you just like I took care of you today. Don't leave for tomorrow. To say for tomorrow, it shows that you don't trust me. I don't want you to fear. You have to trust me. Okay. Most of the Jews ate everything and enjoyed. But there were few who didn't trust that tomorrow there's going to be man. So they put in a jar. So the Torah say, those who kept for tomorrow, what happened to the man? Vayarom tolaim vayivash. The man had worms, and after the worms came, it started to smell very bad. Came the Goyim, the philosophers, they say, you see, there's mistake in the Torah. What comes first? First, when food is not fresh, what happened first? First, the food begin to smell bad, and after that, the worms are coming, or first comes the worms, and after that, the food begin to smell. So the Goyim say, you see, mistake in the Torah. According to your Torah, it says that first the worms coming in, and because of that, it makes the food smell bad. But all of you can see what we are now showing you in front of your eyes. Here is a rotten fish. The fish is now smell horrible, and there's no worms. Come tomorrow, you see 500 worms. So mistake in the Torah. Believe it or not, the Jews did not know what to answer. Why? Gdolei HaRishonim did not have a good answer to this question. They gave all kinds of answers, but it wasn't a convincing answer. One day, they invented a microscope. The world did not have microscope. First time they look with a microscope on a smelly fish, before it smelled, they saw millions of worms. But with the eye, you cannot see them. Only with a microscope you can see them. But 2 days later, they already grow. Then you can see them without the microscope. So when the Torah says, first come the worms, and the worms make the food smell, the Torah was always right. But millions of people were sure the Torah is a mistake. This is an example how the Torah in the end never make mistake. Sometimes we don't have the tools to prove it. Let me give you examples what I mean. When you come to a non-religious Jew, and it happens to me, Baruch Hashem, many, many thousands of times, it happened in the last 20 years since I started to give lectures. Thousands of times people came to me and say to me like this, I promise you, if you prove to me that the Jews really received the Torah in Har Sinai, I will become religious. I will prove, not story. My father told me because his father told him, because his father told him. I'm not interested in this kind of proofs. I want a solid proof. You prove to me that you used that it was Mahamad Har Sinai, ani chozer betshuva. I'm gonna become fully Orthodox. So now it's a big thing, it's a challenge. How can you prove something that happened 3,300 years ago? Now I want to ask you a question. If we had permission to swear, and someone would come to you and say to you, I want you to hold the Torah and swear that there was a person named Napoleon. And if you write, you'll get $1 million cash. And if you're wrong, you lose $1 million cash. It's a good deal or a bad deal? That's the question. One question. You have to hold the Torah and say, I swear there was Napoleon. And now, if there was Napoleon, you make $1 million. If there was no Napoleon, you just lose $1 million. Would you do the deal or no? Or you're afraid to lose $1 million? I would do the deal right away, before they change their mind. Quick, bring the Torah, quick, run. Why? In 5 minutes, it'll change his mind. The question is, how am I so confident to hold the Torah in the name of Hashem and swear there was Napoleon that I never saw him? How? What do you think? Millions of people all over the world draw his picture with a hat like this, Bonaparte. They tell his stories. They say how he occupied countries, how he lost the war in Russia, what happened to his soldiers. It's a major part of history, of modern history. So many people from 200 years ago described him. So many people. Is it possible everyone lie? Not realistic. But that's still not 100% the proof. That's a strong argument, but it's not a proof. Let me show you how I prove that the Torah was given to the Jews. When you come to a group of more than 3 million people, a lot of the things that you see, I have to skip because, like I said, this lecture takes 4 hours and I want to finish within an hour. The rest of that you can watch in the film, in the Torah and Science. One more thing before I start to give the proof from Mahamad Har Sinai, according to the Book of the Christians, according to the word of JC, all the Christians must be Orthodox Jews. This is in the book of Matthew. He say, God forbid, I never came to contradict the Torah. I never came to change the Torah. Someone who will change one letter from the Torah, even a part of the letter, and will teach other people different than the original Torah, will be cursed by the kingdom of heaven, which means by God. Which means if any one of my listeners or my followers or my student will not keep all the laws of the Torah 100% and they will change one word or one letter from the Torah, they will be cursed by God. So how come they don't listen to one thing from the Torah? They don't keep Shabbat, they don't eat kosher. What's going on here? Not only that, in one other part he said, we must listen to the rabbis. The rabbis inherit the chair of Moses. The rabbis inherit, they continue the job of Moshe. They are the patrons of the Torah. We have to listen to them. This is in the New Testament, but they don't listen to the rabbis. They listen to the rabbis? Of course not. So this is very strange. Let's give a few examples what I'm talking about. I'm going to skip some. When I come to 3 million people and I try to convince them that I'm the representative of God, and I'm bringing them a very thick book full of mitzvot, do I want to make the book difficult or hard or easy? What do you think a person, if a person is a liar, for those who try to say that Moshe never got the Torah from Hashem, or the Jews never heard Moshe and Hashem speaking, like the Torah claim. So one day a person brought the book and he wants to give it to a group of people. Now, if I am lying, I know God never gave me the book, and I know I'm not a prophet, and I know I'm not a messenger of God. I know I wrote this book in my kitchen at home. I faked it because I want. Why would a person make himself a prophet? Reason number one, money. Everyone gives him now money, he's the boss. Reason number two, he thinks he's the smartest in a nation. Reason number three, he thinks he knows the best, so he wants to make the rules. Reason number four, he wants honor. He wants everyone to admire him, right? Reason number five, he wants after he dies that his name will be memorized as the messenger of God forever. He becomes an idol. So I think I cover everything. If a person is a liar, if a person is a faker, and he wrote the Torah, Chas v'Shalom, what reasons he had to write the Torah? The five reasons I gave: honor, money, control, you know, to be memorized. Okay. So now, let's think for a second. Moshe Rabbeinu bring the Torah. What does it say in the Torah? That he's stuttering. He wrote about himself that he has speech problem. If a person is a liar and he writes a book, he's going to write in a book that he cannot talk, that he's stuttering, that the whole world in history would know that he had problems speaking correctly, I mean, clear. Or he writes in a book that his children could not take his place. Yehoshua ben Nun, a stranger, become the king. His two sons, Hashem said, no, they cannot be. Or every king in a history that became the king, what's the first thing he does? Look in Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, the Iranian Shah, Erdogan, everywhere you go, what's the first thing the king or the president or the prime minister does? First thing, as soon as he gets into office, what is it? Takes care of his financial future. Him, his children, he gets all his friends' jobs. You know, he wants everyone around him to be his cousins, his this, his that, friends from school, from university. He replaced all the good people with his own friends. He trusts them. You help me, now I help you. He wants to pay back all the people who gave him money. And what? If he has a way to put his hand on billions of dollars that nobody would know, that's the first thing he will do. That's why Gaddafi left $200 billion. That's why Mubarak left $70 billion. That's why the Iranian Shah left $40 billion. That's why all these leaders, all the dictators, had an enormous amount of money, even though they didn't need it, but they kept it and kept it and kept it while their own people are starving. So now, Moshe, assuming for those who claim that he made it up. So Moshe now comes and he gives a book. He gives the Holy Land to the Jewish people. Which tribe does not get real estate in Israel? His family. Everyone got land in Israel, Shevet Levi, do not get real estate, nothing. You know, you don't have a piece of land. You live in Arei Miklat, a little bit here, a little bit there. You don't have your homeland, okay? But it gets much better. If I came to you today to convince you that God sent me, and he gave me this book, can I lie to you about things that happened to you in the last year? Can I make up stories? Can I say to you that a week ago I took you from Japan and I brought you here in my private jet? Can I tell you such a thing? What would you say right away? This guy is crazy, he's hallucinating. We've never been in Japan. What Japan? If I come to you and I give you a book and you open the book and it says that you were in Egypt and you were slaves and I just took you out of Egypt, would you accept the book if it didn't happen? You will never agree to accept the book. So who are you telling stories? If I come to you and I say to you, all of you heard me speaking to God. If one of you did not hear me speaking to God, one, what would happen in a room? What is he talking about? We never heard him speaking to God. Would I be that dumb to come to a group of 3 million people and convince them that they heard me speaking to God? Do you know such a person that will be such a fool? He comes to 3 million people, ladies and gentlemen, didn't you just hear me speaking to God an hour ago? And everyone say, yes, of course, Senor, we all heard you. Now comes the best part. When I bring them a fake book, I want them to like me or to hate me? I want them to like me. Why would I give them such a difficult book to keep, 613 laws? Why would I make them give so much tzedakah, donation? Why would I tell them that they have to close their business on Shabbat? And why will I make thousands of them have to get divorced right away? As soon as Moshe brought the Torah, thousands of the Jews had to divorce their wife. Why? Why he enjoyed to break families? Why would he do that? What did he gain from that? The Torah says, "Erva dodatcha lo tegale dodatchai." You cannot touch your aunt. Your father has a sister. You are 25. Your father is 45. Your father has a very young sister, the last one in the family. She's 20. You are 25. You marry the sister of your father. What's the problem? Cousins marry until today. Your father has a young sister. You're 5 years older. You like her. She likes you. You grew up together in the same area. You marry. 10 years later, you have 10 kids. Come Mr. Moshe, and he gives you now the Torah. God sent me. You open the Torah, you want to kill yourself. What? What do you mean? I cannot touch my aunt is my wife. What Moshe say? I'm not God. I only bring you what God say. Now, if Moshe made it up, why would he write such a thing in a book? Give me one reason why a person that would write a fake book would write such strange thing inside the book to do everything he can to make the people hate him more. Why? If I'm lying, I say you don't have to give 10% tzedakah. 1% a year, everyone would be happy. Eat whatever you want. You don't need to keep Shabbat every week. Once every 6 months, it's enough. You allow this, you allow this, you eat milk, cheese, whatever you want. Marry whoever you want. No problem. What's the problem? And everyone like me. And I'm the boss. And I'm the leader. And I get 1% from 3 million people. It's more than enough. And everyone is happy. Why will I make it so difficult that they hate me? Of course, Moshe never made it up. Everything in the book, that's what God gave him. The chance that somebody would write the Torah on his own and bring it to a group of millions of people and convince them to accept it when the Torah speaks about them as the actors in the movie. Remember, all the Torah speaks about the people that received the Torah. In Islam, it's not like this. Muhammad came, one person, nobody ever saw. He himself said, I was alone in the desert. Angel Gabriel gave me the Quran. How many witnesses? Nobody. Mary, one day she came, I had a dream. God came to me in a dream. How many witnesses? Nothing. Buddha, one day Buddha came, I saw the light. How many witnesses? Nothing. Moshe came, he said, a public event, all of you heard me speaking to God. Every one of the 100 miracles in the book of the Torah happened to you, not to your parents. If it was to your grandparents, oh, wait a minute, maybe it's a conspiracy. Maybe he's lying. How do I know what my grandfather had in Egypt? But when I come to all of you right here, sitting here, I say, did you see in your eyes blood in Egypt? All of you say yes. Because if not, you would not accept the book. It's not from God. He's not making mistakes. Did you see millions of frogs in Egypt? Yes. Did you see thousands of Egyptians falling and dying? You say yes. Did you see that I took you in the ocean, the water opened up and you went through? You say yes. Did you see bread is falling from heaven? Yes. Did you hear me speaking to God? Yes. If one of the things did not happen, everything else happened, but one did not happen, they say, leave us alone. Hey, 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 this is a lie. God doesn't make such mistakes. The Torah will never start. No one would even know there was a person named Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? They'll kill him right away. You came to destroy our life, to make us get divorced. And the last thing, what else? That he said to them, all the meat that you prepare for Chag Shavuot is not kosher. They prepare food for days. They slaughter the cows, the sheep. They make food, they cook it, because they knew there was a holiday. Moshe come with the Torah and say, I'm sorry, all the food is not kosher. You have a few hours to prepare for Yom Tov. That's why in Shavuot we eat dairy. 3,300 years, there's no time to make new meat. You have to slaughter the animals, take the skin off, put salt, and then to cook it, yeah, you need more than a day. There's no time. That's why until today, every Shavuot, Jews all over the world eat dairy. It's no coincidence. This is just a little bit from part one of the film. I will show one or two proofs and we'll finish with that. Bezrat Hashem. The rest you can watch on a DVD. I just wanted you to see how easy it is to prove that the Torah cannot be written by a human being. Let's see right here in front of you. In Sefer Devarim, chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, Hashem said to the Jews, one day I will spread you all over the world. You will live in New York, Paris, London, Belgium, Mexico, everywhere you go there are Jews. And only very few of you will survive. Very little. We are the smallest nation, 13.2 million Jews. That's it. That's it. Smallest nation in the world. 7.4 billion goyim, 13.2 million Jews. From the 13.2 million Jews, about 2 million religious. That's it. 2 million people listen to God and live according to His rule from 7.4 billion. Do you understand what's happening here? That means 0.01% of the people in the world living according to the purpose of God. And everybody else living a lie and mistake. Some knows it, some does not even know it. Most of the people don't know what the purpose of life. What's the purpose of life? To make money. What's the purpose of life? To have kids. What's the purpose of life? To enjoy. What's the purpose of life? I don't know. To be a movie star. What's the purpose of life? Nobody knows. So if a person doesn't know the purpose of life, you want him to live according to the purpose? If a person doesn't have an address, can he ask for direction? Hey, excuse me, can you tell me how to get to my brother's wedding? Where is it? I don't know. Tell me how to get there. Give me an address, I'll tell you how to get there. Person doesn't have an address, he doesn't know where his destination is. Of course he lives in a lie. And a lie means a mistake. Every second of his life is a mistake. Men, women, Jews, non-Jews. Many people live in a huge mistake all their life. From the minute they became bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah until the day they leave the world, not even 1 hour of their life was according to their test or to the purpose that God put them here. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it breaking the heart that 11 million Jews in the world do not understand what they live for? And they only think that this is the purpose and this one, and they try college and they drop out and they try something else, and they try this job and they try that one, and they get married and they get divorced and they get married again, they get divorced again, and they have, you know, and one day they leave the world and they come in front of God and he say, dear Yosef, dear Yitzchak, dear Miriam, dear Sarah, I'm very disappointed to inform you, you live 80 years here, not even 1 hour of your life was productive. Not 1 hour was positive. Everything was one huge, constant lie and mistake. So the person would say, whoa, how am I supposed to know? What do you want from me? It's your fault. So what would be the answer? No, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Torah munachat bekeren zavit ve'en mi she'yavo ve'yitol. The Torah is everywhere, everywhere. Even in the Israeli army, they give Torah to the soldier when they graduate. They give Torah. Every secular Jew has Torah in his home almost. Everywhere. And especially today, the internet is full of Shiure Torah. Thousands of Facebook pages. People get to the phone a few times per day, even secular people, they get their videos. There are great speakers. There's so many proofs. And he ignore everything. And then he say, oh, it's your fault. What do you want from me? I lived in mistake. It's not so simple. So let me give you an example of what Hashem said. I will spread you in the nation, and only a few of you will survive. As I'm directing you there, who is speaking? God, right here. Ve'avatem sham Elohim ma'ase yedei adam etz va'even. You would worship there a fake God, man-made God, God of the wood and the God of the stone. That cannot see, cannot hear, and cannot do anything. Fake gods, fake religions. Here comes the speaker and stand right here in front of you. Today it's me, it can be somebody else, doesn't matter. And I say to you, which fake religion God was talking about? Remember, this was written 3,300 years ago. Which fake religion he was warning the Jews that one day they will fall into? Christianity and Islam. Christianity is the religion of the wood, like they say, knock on wood, and the cross of the wood. And Islam is the stone, the big rock in Mecca. So now, if you're smart, you would tell me, ha 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 ha, that's a scientific proof. How do you know that's what God meant? You read his mind? You a manipulator. It sounds good, like Islam and Christianity. And you try to convince us that that's what he meant. You have a good point. The truth is, you have a horrible point. Why? Because you didn't see the next thing. What's the next thing? Inside the verses that the Torah warned the Jews that they will fall into fake religion, the religion of the wood and the religion of the rock, what did Hashem do? He planted a code, a mathematical skip inside the verses, equal skip of 49, and he put two names. Two names. One, Mecca. One, Yeshu. Yeshu means Jesus in Hebrew, it's Yeshu, Yud, Shin, Vav. And Mecca, where is it? Look right here on the top, you see the first, the top circle on the Yud. You count 49 letters, what do you get? You get a Shin. You count 49 letters, you get the Vav. The three green circles give us Yud, Shin, Vav, in equal skip of 49, which is 7 times 7. 7 is a holy number. Okay. Then you go Mecca. You take the mem in the bottom in a yellow square. You go in reverse. Mem. 49 letters in reverse, you get half. 49 letters, you get hey. The Torah has 304,805 letters. The Torah has many thousands of verses. The only place that the name Yeshu and Mecca appear in equal skip in the whole Torah, equal skip of 49, believe it or not, it's the verse that warned the Jews 1300 years before Christianity even started. There's no Christianity in the world when the Torah was given. And 1800 years before Islam started, Hashem wrote in the Torah, one day you will make me very angry. So what's going to happen? I will make you very little, the smallest nation. But not only that, I will spread you all over the world. And over there, what's going to happen to you? You will follow a fake God, not me. You follow the God of the Goyim, who the religion of the wood, like the Christians, the wood, the wood, the wood, the everywhere you go. And the religion of the millions of Muslims go to Saudi Arabia in Ramadan, millions for this big rock over there that they have. This is the symbol of the religion. So what do you see? Not only speaking about wood and rock, inside he told you who is the leader of this religion and who is the symbol of the other one. It cannot be coincidence. If you know statistic, something like this to happen randomly, it's impossible. It cannot be by mistake. That in the only verse in the Torah that warned the Jews from fake God, it gives you the two fake religions that actually occupied most of the world. Something like this cannot happen by itself. One last thing for tonight, and then I give you some time for questions. It says like this. I have to skip some, so I'm just going to show you. The requirements that Hashem has to the Jews is that you should know me, not believe in me. To believe in God is very important. But before you believe in me, you first have to know I exist. You have to know I watch you every second of your life. You have to know everything you have came from me. You have to know whatever will happen to you will come from me. And you have to know that I put you here for a short test. And I'm writing everything you do in my book, what we call today video recording. Where does it say it? Ayin roa, ve'ozen shoma'at, ve'chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nichtavim. Cannot run away from Hashem. You ask, wait a minute, I already live 50 years. I do every day, everything I do against the Torah. So where is that I? And where is that year? And where is that book? My book should be all the way from here to Yerushalayim, according to this warning. So how come I'm still alive and kicking and running and making millions? Where is the justice? According to what the book say, I'm recording and God is not happy from the way I live. No, I don't keep Shabbat. I eat whatever I want. I do whatever I want. I steal in my business. I cheat. I do all kinds of things. So where is the justice? The answer is, the Torah said that Hashem gave us free choice. We choose what to do. And He never interferes with our choices. He doesn't tell us what to do, what not to do. He gave us Torah instructions, but He doesn't push your hands. You have on a table, you have glad kosher steak and pork. And a person is taking his hand to the pork. He doesn't come and push his hand to the kosher steak. No. He let him eat the pork. And he becomes healthy. And he has muscle. And he runs. And he's 100%. What's the problem? The Jew eat pork 20 years. He's healthy. No problem. So the Jew say, you see, there's no God. Or if there is a God, he doesn't really care what we do. The rabbis made it up. Come on, if God really cares about the things that I do, a long, long time ago, he should already do things to me. But he let me do. Look, I'm very successful. So the answer is, if the Torah did not answer this question, then of course, he has a point. But the Torah said, I do not respond to your action instantly. I don't. When you do something good, don't expect to get your reward a minute later. When you do something bad, don't expect to get your punishment a minute later. No. Why? If this is the way the world was, nobody in a history would make even one sin. Nobody. Why? After the first person lit a cigarette on Shabbat, and it was an explosion, and no more amigo. And another one, 5 minutes later, the second amigo also joined the journey. Third one, smoke, that's it. After 3 times it happened, do you know one person from that moment on in history will dare to touch fire on Shabbat? Even the Hamas terrorists, Shabbat, don't shoot rockets, Shabbat. Be careful, it will explode in our face. Why? Everyone who ever saw Michalel Shabbat paid the price right away. After 2-3 times, everyone is afraid to move. Moshe, you coming to eat? Shh, I don't want to move Shabbat. By mistake, maybe I touch. I don't want to move. You don't deserve a reward for that. You live out of fear. That's not the point. That's not a test. If a person give $1,000 donation, come to the rabbi here for the yeshiva. 2 minutes later, he made 2,000. Wow. So he comes again the next day, rabbi here, 2,000 to the yeshiva. The next day, he made 4,000. So he comes to the rabbi here, 4,000 to the yeshiva. The next day, he made 8,000. Like this, every day, until he became $16 billion. So what is the question here? Of course, the whole world would run to the rabbis. Take all the money to the yeshivot. I double my money every minute. Even the Nazis would run to give their money to the rabbis. Why? They want to double their money. They care about Hashem. The world cannot run like this. This is not a test. A test means you came to pray Shachrit in the morning, 6:30, and you got a ticket outside. $100 fine. And you couldn't find parking. You went inside. You don't want to miss the Shachrit. You come outside. $100. Say, not only I get up 6 o'clock, snow, this, I come, I clean the snow, I come to shul, I can sleep until 10, I have a day off. I come, I pray, I come outside, ticket. Or I steal, I do, I beat up people, and beautiful, life is great. That's a test. If you get the punishment right, of course, no one would do bad. So everyone will be an angel, so what's the purpose of the creation? The whole purpose of the creation was to scramble everything, to confuse everyone. Why do you think this world called Olam? Olam comes from the word in Hebrew, Ne'elam. Mystery. Missing. Nobody knows. It's a myth. So here it goes. Listen to this. Hashem said to the Jews, you want to eat fish? No problem. Enjoy. Not all the fish is kosher. Now, there's two ways to tell you which one is kosher, which one is not. One, I can sit and write in a book the names of all the things that lives in the water. From now until next year, I won't finish the list. There's more than 40,000 different kinds of fish. There's millions of other things that lives in the water. Turtles, scorpions, all kinds of things. So what? He's going to write the names of everything in the Torah? No. So what does he do? It's like math. He say, everything that you take from the water, it doesn't matter if you recognize it or not. It has to have fins and scales. If it has fins and scales, it's kosher. If it doesn't, it's not kosher. So now, you go to the Oral Torah. What does the Oral Torah say? Kol sheyesh lo kaskeset, yesh lo snapir. That's it. Seven words. Seven words. What's special about the seven words? Those seven words a human being can never write. Only the creator of the world was able to write it. No person was able to write such a thing. Why? This is what it means. Everything that you find in the water, if you found scales that you scratch the body and the scales are falling from this fish, guarantee that this fish has fins. That means if somebody give you half a fish, you don't see the fins, only the head. But you see 2-3 scales, it's kosher. But I don't see the fins. You need 2 signs. You don't need to see the fins. Why? I created all of them. I never created anything in the water. 72% of the world is water. I never created anything in the water that have scales and did not have fins. You can relax. I have to remember, when this was written, half of the things that we have in the ocean did not even exist. They constantly create new species. How did he know? What person can promise such a thing? Do you know a person that can see simultaneously 72% of the world, billions of things who moves in the ocean, and he can write this in a book? You don't even have even one? What person can promise such a thing? Tomorrow, somebody would find a fish. Here, look, scales, and he doesn't have fins. He has tail like a snake. That will be the end of Judaism. The end of Yom Kippur, the end of Shabbat, the end of Shema Yisrael, the end of kosher food, the end of everything. It will be the biggest tragedy in history. What happened? No, so somebody found a fish. So, no, my friend, it's not about the fish. It's about Chas v'Shalom, the first mistake in the Torah was found. He puts everything else in a question mark. Why? The Torah promised. This is oral Torah, Torah she'be'al peh. It went from the hand of the Chachamim, from hand to hand. Hashem gave us this knowledge in Mount Sinai, in Har Sinai. It says, this is the way I made the world. Even if they mix, even if you try to mix it in the lab, you will never make a fish with scales without fins. Never. Why? I control the world. Next to that, he say, you have to put tefillin. Next to that, he say to the ladies, you have to dress modest. Next to that, he say, you have to be honest in your business. Next to that, he say, you have to respect your parents. Next to that, he say, you have to pray and talk to me. Everything you need, you have to talk to me. Next to that, he say, you have to have emunah, that whatever I do for your own good. Next to that, he say, you have to believe that when you die, I will pay you for all the mitzvot that you kept. Endless reward. People say, Rabbi, where does it say in the Torah that there's olam haba? Maybe the rabbis made it to give incentive to the people. Well, why it doesn't say in the Torah that there's olam haba? What do you think it says, or it doesn't say in the Torah that there's olam haba? It says in the Torah there is olam haba. It says in the Torah what's the reward of olam haba. And it's also saying in the Torah about the resurrection of the dead. Efo, where? In the Torah, not only in the Gemara. It says, Leman anotchem lenasotchem. I'm strict with you. I'm testing you. Okay? Lenasotchem. At tishmor mitzvotai im lo. Are you going to keep my mitzvot or not? I'm testing you. I'm strict with you. Why? Lehativcha ba'acharitecha. That I should reward you in your end. What is this end? What end? End of the semester? What end? End of business? End of the childhood? Did you see that old people make more money? Well, they're healthier, that they run better. Usually the older they get, the more sicknesses they have, usually. We didn't find any old person that before he died, 5 years, God gave them heaven here, no? The opposite, their life is harder. So what, Chas v'Shalom, Hashem is shakran, he's a liar? He's lying. What is a politic here? He's telling you one thing before the election, and the next day he forgot who he is, who you are. No, no, no. La'atifcha v'acharitecha, I will reward you in your end. And in another place he says in the Torah, La'ativ lecha ulevanecha ad olam, I will reward you and your children after you for eternity. Ad olam means forever. There's verses in the Torah. And how do we know there will be the resurrection of the dead? It says, Az yakriv Aaron korbanot. There will be a day that Aaron HaKohen, the main Kohen, the father of all the Kohanim, Aaron HaKohen, will sacrifice in Bet HaMikdash. How can he sacrifice in Bet HaMikdash? He never entered the Holy Land. He passed away in the desert. The Torah says one day Aaron will sacrifice in Bet HaMikdash. And there's many other examples, if you read the Torah good, that it speaks about all these things. Okay, we're done here, Be'ezrat Hashem. If you have any questions right now, even about things that I did not speak, please feel free to ask. Any questions? Baruch Hashem, everyone here is a professor. No problem.